This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Will Buss.
And I'm Jasmine Creighton.
Some stories just really get people angry. They really want to vent. And they do so on social media. And I'm not talking about a reaction to something the Trump administration did here today. We're actually talking, Will, about an animal story.
Yeah, puppies and kittens tend to really tug at the heartstrings, just like children do. And I was working in a newsroom this summer in a small town north of here, and we had broke a story, and it caught on to other news and media organizations about a small puppy that was tortured, and a teen had been charged with aggravated animal cruelty. And as we had posted the story, we noticed on our website the heart swell of a groundswell of the support that folks had and the outrage they had because of the heinous act that they had this person had allegedly perpetrated on this dog, four deep lacerations across its neck and abrasions on its back. And we had some photos, though we had to I couldn't run every photo that I had taken when I went and photographed the puppy at the veterinary clinic. I had to kind of be guarded and make sure it wasn't too graphic. And so in the same vein, I think we also have to measure or be guarded with the kind of responses that we see people bringing in on social media. And I was in a very small newsroom, and usually we don't have breaking news in a small town like that where we have to guard against that. But suddenly, after that story came out, we were finding ourselves scrambling in our very small newsroom with a staff of about three or four people, trying to get on our Facebook page and our website to make sure that we were doing some refereeing here. It was a problem for us, but something that we had to suddenly jump in and thrust in to do.
And then other media, of course, picked up that story. And Jasmine, you were noticing a TV station had to try to calm the crowds.
Yeah, WQAD has been also covering this story, and a couple other stories that have also riled up people quite a bit. And they ended up posting an article called "When Online Venting Turns into Social Media Lynch Mob Mentality, No One Wins." And the gist of the article is that we understand that this upsets people, and we understand lots of these stories, these types of stories, will bring out a lot of anger in our viewership. But please be responsible in your social media and your online commenting about these stories, and just in general, because you know, it's could be dangerous in some ways, and they think that people, you know, should be commenting. Sure, if when they're angry, that's fine, but you know, people were pretty much wishing death upon this person or these people, depending on what story we're talking about. And it was becoming a lynch mob, exactly what their title suggested. So they're saying, you know, we want to make our community a better place. So think about that next time when you are commenting on social media.
It seems that when you're angry, the best practice perhaps is to write whatever it is you're feeling at the time, save the document and walk away from it, come back later and look at it and ask yourself, is this really something I want to say in public?
Oh, absolutely. I think when we're very irrational, or when our tension's heightened and we need to take a step back, take a deep breath and think about what we're actually putting out there. Because, and I think especially your young people and our students that we instruct and guide and mentor need to know that what they're putting out there can be very permanent. And just like a journalist has to have some forethought in what they're about to broadcast and what they're about to report, we need to have this same kind of forethought and the same kind of guidelines with how we run the feedback that we have. There's very constructive criticism and feedback that we can use with social media. We have to harness that. But at the same time, we have to guard against these other things that don't contribute to the conversation whatsoever.
A lot of times I see, too, with social media comments in response to a story is that some people, I think, did not actually read the story or listen to the story or watch it, whatever the case might be. They saw a headline and immediately had to shoot from the lip, and they don't really understand what the story is about.
Yeah, and some news websites are taking that into account when they're putting together how people can comment on their stories. And some actually will have you do a little online quiz about the story before you're allowed to comment. However, I'm pretty sure you can get past that with, you know, pretty easily and then comment on it.
I think that if there's a bright side, especially with the challenges from the economy and newsrooms, newspapers, journalism and broadcasting and so forth, it's the fact that we have this new division of labor that we need to create if we haven't already. The newspaper where I had worked before I came to the university, we had someone who worked as a web editor literally around the clock. They would begin at 5:30 in the morning. Someone else would take a next shift beginning at about 2 o'clock or so, and someone would take another shift that go about till about 10 or 10:30. And what their job was to basically was to monitor the feedback, the comments, and to basically help put content on the website. And I think if anything, that needs to be a division of labor that newsrooms everywhere, if they haven't entertained thoughts of doing that, really need to look into doing that, because I think it's the wave of the future and what's where we're going.
And unfortunately, newsroom staffs keep getting smaller and smaller. So you're asking reporters to monitor stuff like that in addition to doing the reporting that they need to do, and that becomes a bit of a problem. I want to give WQAD some credit. They certainly could have just shut off the comments section and said no more comments. And I think we want to try to avoid that whenever possible. And I think putting out that piece explaining let's be a little bit civil here, I think was a much better response than simply shutting down all comments.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, we're very fortunate to live in a society, in a country that allows us these rights of our opinions. We can say them however we want and fear no retribution from the government. But our comments can be a factor in employment. And that's something also for people to think about when they're commenting on social media. How would your coworkers and your employer feel about what you just said? Because you could potentially lose a job.
I would agree that there's a constructive use to this. I remember when we first were merging into this, and as the technology evolved and we were tapping into comments and we were weighing comments, and reporters were encouraged to look at comments and engage and tweet with the audience. And at first, I took kind of a – I'll admit I took a dim view to this. I thought this was very gimmicky, and I thought it was just a way of trying to get readership or readers that weren't even there. But over time, I learned to appreciate that there was – in good measure, a means by which we could find out and learn more about our readership. And I think being able to gauge comments effectively is just a very important component of that.
Hey, we need to wrap things up for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.